Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now,
I was against it. I'm for it now.
The most hypocritical fan base in the NFL.
You know what? I was totally against this on Friday, and now I'm for it.
Why are you willing to be hypocritical, though?
Well, he's on the Patriots now, and his...
Cultural change is hard.
I'm disappointed in Robert Kraft.
Still broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Everybody be safe tonight
and safe,
tomorrow.
Guys.
All across the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Or streaming at WEEI.com.
And the radio.com. app.
Intercom.
This is
The Greg Hill Show.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Good morning.
With your host, Greg Hill.
Yeah, they're flip-floppers, but fine.
The flip went switched.
Even I have to admit, it's pretty exciting. I can't stand the guy, and he's an absolute team killer.
This is fun. This is so exciting.
Well,
hashtag exciting.
Featuring Greg's trusty sidekick, Danielle Murr.
Tom, would you ever miss a game for the birth of a child, or does work take precedence over that?
I'm not answering. That's hypothetical.
Joined by...
They jell of us!
Wiggy.
Yeah, you can sleep in tomorrow, Fitzy. I got you.
It's not the way a guy ought to conduct himself.
And I have it on good authority. Wiggy was the guy he called for social media advice. I thought it was way out of line.
You made the right moves, you know, because you, when you get in with Wiggs Incorporated, I'm like the new Black Google.
AB out.
Wiggs out.
And still here, Ken and Curtis.
Maybe to protest the firing of Dave Dombrowski, Curtis could take his top off publicly.
No,
baby.
No,
it's a little chilly out there.
And my nipples were hard.
Yeah, have a press conference and say, hey, we've decided.
They will. There must be more to this story, right? There some kind of backdoor explosion, or do you think that John Henry...
Wrong choice of words.
Sorry.
On tailgate Monday.
It's not what I meant.
Now.
But we've got to be role models.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning, Craig. Is this Greg Hill?
Craig Hill, yes.
Craig, I'm sorry. Hi.
Where the are they all? Jesus Christ.
On Sports Radio.
Cheers. Crushing the Bears. I'm watching the Pats.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
WEEI now.
Wiggy is with us this morning. How are you?
What's up with you, man?
What's going on?
Oh, man, a beautiful day.
Yeah?
It is a beautiful, beautiful day. Football is back in,
And you're back. And you're back.
Yeah, I am back.
Football's back and you're back.
I am back.
Which Nick needs a little bit of sleep. He was out late honking his way through a Patriots game the other night.
Was he?
And he needs...
Did he have all his jokes lined up and ready to go?
I don't know about that, about his one-liners and his zingers and things like that. I hope you have some one-liners and some zingers ready for this morning, Wiggy.
I started looking for some one-liners and zingers on Google last night, but...
It didn't work?
Yeah, it just didn't work.
Yeah, all right.
It fit my personality.
Well, Wiggy is here for the Tuesday show, and if you want to call and you want to be on this morning, you can call 617-779-7937. I believe we are still a radio station without the interwebs, so I don't think we can take your text messages this morning. You can try if you want, but I don't think we're not getting any text messages, are we, fellas?
Yeah, the internet's kind of 28-8 modem style.
I don't believe it is what it is. I don't know. You know what? I mean,
happen sometimes.
Yeah, that's the way it
goes. It's Al Gore. He invented the internet, and now he's taking it back.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's always Al Gore's
always.
Fault. We do have some Red Sox tickets to give away. We are going to be broadcasting from Fenway Park next week. And so we're going to do a breakfast at Fenway. We'll be joined by a Red Sox player or a couple Red Sox players. Unfortunately, not joined by Dave Dombrowski, but you could be there with us at Fenway. And if you're listening at 7 and at 8:30 this morning, I am going to give away those Red Sox tickets. At some point, probably a rare content replay on the Tom Brady interview since that happened late in the show yesterday. And also, Tom Brady had some scripted answers that were played with Jim Gray last night. Is that correct, Curtis?
Yes, sir. Yeah, about Antonio Brown.
All right. So we'll get to that at some point also on this morning show. But right now, it's this.
This is...
John Hall band, pretty good request on the text line, I believe, last week for that lead.
Great request. Actually, yeah. I've never heard that song.
You haven't?
Until last Friday, but I enjoy it. It's
well,
good,
you're not
good
old
selection.
Enough. Yeah. I mean, it was a big hit in the 80s, like 1982 or 1983 or something like that. You probably weren't even born yet.
78 I was born.
Oh, 78.
I'm older than, well, I'm probably not older than I look, but I'm old.
Curtis looks old. I mean, yeah. Curtis looks like he was. Wiggy, how old do you think Curtis looks?
Curtis looks like he's a good 53.
Oh, I'm older than Greg. Jesus.
That's what he looks like. He just has that old man look.
He does have the old man
decrepit.
Look. You know, but there's some people who like the old decrepit man
look.
Nothing
wrong with that.
There's Nothing wrong with that.
Well, you referenced our Brady interview yesterday, which was indeed late in the show. We did not get to digest the first awkward moment of the Tom Brady, Greg Hill era, and this was it yesterday.
According to the NBC broadcast last night, they said that you offered to let Antonio Brown stay with you. Is that like a guest house thing, or would he be in the main house, or like what's up with that?
I think there was a lot of things said on TV, so I didn't say that to anyone publicly.
Ooh. Well, whoa, was that just uncomfortable?
Wasn't that
whoa.
Awkward? I mean, he didn't necessarily want to reveal private conversations that
he had.
The pause
was a little awkward.
The pause was a little awkward.
Like, oh,
well,
man, it's still
but,
really
I
asking
mean,
us.
On Instagram last night, he shared a picture of he and AB, and it looked like they were in the
like
the
they were
family
having a
room.
Good time,
it looked
yeah.
like, looked
mm-hmm.
like he looked like he was at the house.
Well, a nice little Brazilian dinner or something. I bet.
Is that code, Wiggy, or what?
What was it like? Giselle's Brazilian. So I bet she makes some good Brazilian dishes.
She was making the dishes. Yeah, she was prepared.
Dish.
She was not the dish. No. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, what's your take
well,
on
the
it?
Well, the two major takeaways are, one, he's irritated at Robert Kraft. I won't say pissed, but he's irritated that conversation was made public, if indeed it happened.
Yeah.
The Patriots are trying to spin this happier than Tom Brady is. He's nervous about it. And he mentioned the word work about 15 times with us and Jim Gray. He wants to see Antonio Brown put in the work before he praises him at all.
But I don't mind that.
But Kraft didn't talk about AB staying at his house. That was Drew Rosenhaus. Brady was more upset. I'm not so sure if he was upset about that or when Kraft said he's in 1,000%, 1,000,000%, that type of stuff.
I don't mind that Tom Brady expects to see some work from the guy. He's not he's not bought in yet. Isn't that what a leader does, Wiggy?
Well, that's what he felt like with Josh Gordon when Josh Gordon got here or any player gets here. It's like, all right, let's see what this guy can do in our system. We obviously know that he's a great talent, and I think that Tom expects him to make some big plays and do some big things, but it's still, hey, let's see what he can do out there on the field, and let's see if he buys into what we're selling him.
Ken tries to create more drama than a sorority
girl.
Oh,
don't downplay that. Your eyes went bug-eyed yesterday at that.
All right. Thank you, Ken. What do you got, Curtis?
All right. So yesterday afternoon, or actually at 10:30 a.m., I got this email from the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox announced departure of Dave Dombrowski. John Henry has a quote that says, 4 years ago, we were faced with a critical decision for the direction of the franchise, and we are extraordinarily fortunate to have Dave Dombrowski lead our baseball team to a World Series championship. After that, there was no press conference. No sit-down, no open dialogue with the media regarding this. So what do the Red Sox do? They bring out their human shield, Big Poppy.
Won't you please welcome the symbol of resilience, strength, triumph, and love, our one and only Big Poppy, Red Sox Hall of Famer number 34, David Ortiz.
So the Boston Red Sox, right, decide Monday night, when there is the least amount of buzz for a Red Sox-Yankee game in the history of the rivalry, and you have following up on this disaster of a press release or a leak of the story Sunday night right as the Patriots game concluded, and they decide to bring him out. If you were going to bring David Ortiz out, wouldn't it have been Sunday night? Sunday Night Baseball, Red Sox, Yankees, sure. Last big game of the year.
Up against the Patriots? No.
This is, it just really is mind-boggling how little people think of their consumers at times, well, how dumb they think the American public can be.
The fact that they're not going to have a press conference and ownership isn't going to get up there and explain why Dave Dombrowski got canned is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's going to talk for 22 minutes. What do you want?
The ownership.
That's a bad look. Yeah.
That's a bad look.
Yeah, I don't mind them letting him go in the middle of the night during the Patriots, Antonio Brown whole media storm. That's fine, but not to have a press conference because on what? Because all you're doing is dropping it on the lap of Alex Cora.
Of course. Of course. Alex Cora has to deal with it. They ought to stand up there and explain why he was fired and why he was fired at this point in the season. Why not wait another month or why? Who cares?
And not to mention, Evan Drellick, who was formerly a part of EEI, he's now at The Athletic, had a great point on Twitter. This is also the guy that owns the biggest newspaper in town demanding accountability from powerful people. So how can you be this person demanding that others are open and honest and you won't even have a sit-down 10-minute conversation with the beat writers who, newsflash, aren't really that tough, are perfectly fine with being, you know, relatively respectful and just asking a couple questions and going on with their day. It was a horrible look.
Bad look. I agree. Bad look. Wiggy, what do you got?
All right, now, Bill Belichick taught me this one lesson. We take it game by game, right?
Yes.
But unfortunately, I no longer play for the Patriots, so now I am saying this, and I am saying it with some authority. The Patriots will go undefeated this year, win the Super Bowl, and... This team on paper is better than the 07 team.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. What?
Yes.
The undefeated. You're calling it right now.
I am saying it.
That's bold.
Okay.
I am saying it. And like I said, this team on paper at this point in time is better than the 2017.
There's a stroller rage epidemic happening on the streets of the city of Boston.
Really?
People are getting upset that parents who live in walk-ups all over the city are chaining the strollers to the fences outside their lovely brownstones and whatnot, and they're actually physically taking them and tossing them over the fence into the beautifully manicured gardens, and it needs to stop.
They don't like the strollers, like the look of the strollers?
They don't like that it's blocking the sidewalk.
Oh.
Yeah, but aren't those sidewalks, like, massively wide?
They are pretty wide.
In most spots where this is happening, yes, there are very wide sidewalks.
They're probably in the way of the aggressive bikers who have overtaken our city. Mm-hmm. You can barely cross the street without being run over by somebody on a bicycle in one of the bicycle lanes. And if you're a human being who actually by accident strays in to one of the bicycle lanes,
How dare they
berate you with profanity and threats of violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nuts.
Well,
it's nuts.
And you would think, and now because it's like the bicycle lanes, when we rode on bikes, we rode on the sidewalks, and they ruin in traffic. Get back to the sidewalks. But it's probably more so, you know, all those uppity people down there, you know, having strollers in front of their houses. It's like if you go to the country and hillbillies have, like, you know, abandoned cars left in their front yard. So they're probably like, this is making the neighborhood look bad.
Yeah, I mean, don't be shaming the hillbillies. I mean, nothing wrong with them having a car that they're working on out in their yard. I mean, I don't know why
they've been working on it for a long time.
All right. A Swedish scientist says that there is only one way left to fight climate change.
Okay.
And that is we should all become cannibals. Apparently,
just eat people.
Yes, eating each other would obviously lead to population decline.
Control. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
You're okay with
it? Yeah, I mean, probably a little gamey, but sure. Go ahead, go nuts.
So in the name of stopping climate change, this scientist is suggesting that we all start eating human flesh. Soylent Green, if you will.
So basically, we're going to Dairy Queen for the Brazier Burger.
How do we determine who we're eating, though? Like,
you want someone well marbled, Wiggy.
Well marbled,
It's like a Kobe beef.
It's like a strong survive kind of thing. I mean, I think we go after we start to eat the weak people first.
No one's eating Curtis, though. There's no meat on him.
No. There's no fat on that. No, no meat, no fat. Just a bag of bones over there.
Soylent Green is people.
All right. Well, that's what we're suggesting is on your mind this morning. If you want to call and you want to be on, 617-779-7937 is the number for the Greg Hill Show. That's 617-779-7937. Wiggy is here, and it's a Tuesday at WEEI.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Antonio Brown indeed was in town yesterday meeting with Tom Brady, and Jim Gray had the late night chat with Brady about AB. He followed up with your question, Greg, on whether he asked Antonio Brown to stay at his house. Here was the response late night during Monday Night Football on Westwood One.
Tom, have you invited Antonio to stay at your house, and will he do that?
You know, I've asked a lot of guys over the years to stay at my house.
Quick little deviation there. Oh. It's all general. I've often asked people to stay at my house.
No awkward pause. He was ready that time.
Well, when those are scripted and edited together, they get rid of all the awkward pauses.
Yes. Yeah.
The reports are that there is an open locker room stall two spots from Brady, right between Dorsett and Demaryius Thomas, and that's where AB is expected today when the team practices the first practice of the week from Miami.
Very exciting. It's going to be fun.
Hashtag exciting.
Don't you think it's going to be fun?
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be
amazing.
Fun. It's going to be fun.
He's going to ruin 19-0 for you, Wiggy.
No, he's not. He's going to have a great year. All these haters out there complaining. Uh-huh. Like the guy killed people now. That Stephen A. Smith. What a disgrace. His family should be embarrassed.
Killed two teams.
Oh, Jesus.
106
they
guys.
They deserve to be killed, both of those teams.
Obi Melifonwu was waived to make room for him. They also released Lance Kendricks and Stephen Anderson. The interesting details of the contract, there are some incentives in there. $1.5 million in incentives for catches, yards, and touchdowns. So, me stats for Antonio Brown. He gets an additional, about $4.5 million.
And there's also an option for a second year at $20 million.
Mm-hmm. And $5 million at signing, which is stunning to me that they would give him all that leverage right out of the gate. $5 million. They're not going to cut him the first time he makes a mistake. They already paid him $5 million.
No Dombrowski press conference yesterday from ownership, but Alex Cora did meet with the press for quite some time. Of course, you mentioned the big David Ortiz first pitch, his first public appearance since the shooting. The Yankees went on to win the game 5-0. 5-14, that was your Sox record against the Bombers this year. The most losses to New York in 1 year since 1961. Monday Night Football scores. New Orleans came back to beat Houston on a Will Lutz 58-yard field goal as time expired. 30-28, the Saints got that one done, and the Raiders actually won, wire-to-wire, 24-16 over the Denver Broncos. It's the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
He was in the building today. Have you met with Antonio, and how did it go?
Yeah, you know, we're going to meet as much as we possibly can. I think the quarterback-receiver relationship is so important. The more you know each other, the more you know what each other are thinking, the faster you can accelerate the trust and confidence in one another when you get on the field. And I have that with a lot of guys that I've played with, certainly guys that are on the roster now, Julian, Philip Dorsett, Josh, you saw that last night. But when you haven't played with guys, you've got to try to do it as quickly as possible. And the clock is ticking on us right now. This is not the off-season program. This is about real games that count, and we're going to try to spend as much time as we can together and really get up to speed and lock in with what our roles and responsibilities are.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray last night, Wiggy, and sounds to me like he is all in on Antonio Brown.
What?
Like, yes. like you were on Friday.
All
come
in.
On. Ken, come on. Stop trying to
Ken.
Create. Stop trying to create.
We know
discourse.
He's 1 million percent in, right? Isn't that what IKK told us?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So we know he's all in. This whole, like, all I see are good things happening from this whole Antonio Brown move here. Coming to this organization. This is the organization that if anybody could keep a guy in line, and they've done it over the years, it's the New England Patriots. I don't care what anybody says. It is a real thing on how this that whole Patriots way. It's a real thing that you just feel that presence when you walk in the building. There's nobody that have to say a lot of things to him. There's not going to be no, you know, Belichick's not going to hand them, hey, here's a list of the 10 things we do as Patriots around here. He is just going to know this is how things operate. And you could tell from listening to Brady that I think he's going to buy in, and he's going to be a guy that's going to help this team go undefeated this year.
Did Aaron Hernandez get changed by the Patriot way? I'm sort of forgetting. Did that go well, or did that...
Like, really? You got to stop that. To compare Antonio Brown to Aaron Hernandez, that's just like...
Well, you just said everybody gets changed by the Patriot way.
But what I'm saying is there are guys who get changed by the Patriots way. Guys that have, like, some type of issues.
Like a Randy Moss or a Corey Dillon.
But
or,
for people to compare, because I read the Shaughnessy thing, to compare Aaron Hernandez to Antonio Brown, like, that's like a bad look. That is a bad look for people to say that. One guy allegedly or was convicted of killing people, and then to compare Antonio Brown to that, man, that's like a bad look. Like, so anytime you spit that out of your mouth, I look at you funny.
Yeah.
I look at you real funny because you're going
to... Don't you look at Shaughnessy funny anyway?
Well, I mean, I look at him when you start to compare Aaron Hernandez to Antonio Brown and some of the things that we know that happened, situations with Antonio Brown, whether he's a diva or he was upset throwing furniture off his balcony.
I agree with you. It's ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous comparison.
It's a bad look to say nothing bad can come of this.
He's not going to kill anybody.
Course,
I know that.
I'm not saying he's going to kill anybody.
But you compare him to Hernandez. Like
Wiggy.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay. Oh, my God.
God, Wiggy. You should be ashamed of yourself. No. You're supposed to be a media member. Have some credibility. Look at what he did to these last two organizations. To say nothing bad can come of it. Call a Pittsburgh fan. Call an Oakland fan. Look around the league and see what happens. I mean, this has the chance to be a horrible signing. At least admit that.
Well, when it has a chance to be a signing that it might not work out and they'll cut him, right? I mean, we've seen that before.
Right, and now they can't sign Gronk because they just gave up all their cap money to him.
No, they'll still figure it out. They only had $6 million and somehow they were able to do that. What I'm saying is you should be embarrassed when you compare Antonio Brown to Aaron Hernandez. Like, anytime you spit that out of your mouth, you should be embarrassed about yourself because that is the stupidest thing I've ever
heard. You
should
be embarrassed to say nothing bad has ever happened under the Patriots' watch.
I didn't say that everybody has fallen in line. I said that things happen under the Patriots' watch, but Aaron Hernandez had a certain type of mentality long before he got here. I'm saying that when players come here, generally those players usually buy into the system.
Now, for a while.
Right, and I'm talking...
Moss was happy for a couple years, right. And then he wasn't getting the ball.
Right, and then they shipped him out of here.
Correct. So, so you're basically... Do you think they're essentially renting AB for this one season?
I think they look at AB as a short term, this year, maybe next year. That's what I think they're looking at it as. If he can come in and he can do what he's supposed to do, fall in, do everything he's supposed to do.
And why is he going to do that if he wasn't able to do it with two other organizations? Why is he going to do it with this one?
Well, when you say he wasn't able to do it with two other organizations, when he was with Pittsburgh, they finished first, and second in the AFC North.
Never won a Super Bowl.
That's a lot of there's a lot of teams that haven't won Super Bowls, okay?
The Steelers win them all the time.
So are we going to put it on when's the last time the Pittsburgh Steelers won a Super Bowl?
2010.
Are we going to now put it on a guy and him showing up? So Randy Moss, it didn't work out because he didn't win a Super Bowl? Is the standard winning a Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
No, I think Moss worked out they had the most productive offensive season in the history of the team and the history of the league, right? The two of them.
Well, you just said they're going 19-0, Wiggy. So if the Patriots don't win a Super Bowl with Antonio Brown, isn't this a bad signing?
If they don't win a Super Bowl with him, I think it's a disappointment.
Right. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, but I'm not going to put him in the same category. I'm not going to say, well, you know, it might not work out because Aaron Hernandez didn't work out.
And are you seriously saying after one game,
yes,
that they're going to go undefeated 19-0?
I'm telling you, who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat them? Look at their schedule. They got the easiest schedule in the NFL. Then you add a guy like Antonio Brown to already, you know, I didn't know I knew the offense was going to be good, but I didn't think it was going to, you know, roll like that in week one. And we've seen the Patriots usually come out struggling a little bit in the first couple of games, come out rolling. Defensively, that defense is going to be good. Who's going to beat them?
Wow. I say look out for the Dolphins. Flores has all the game plans. They are in trouble this week.
Is that what it is?
Well, even, you know, Tom Brady said yesterday on this show, they have a tough time playing down there. This is going to be a real challenge on Sunday. This is Ramon. What's up, Ramon?
Hey, man, Wiggy is a clown. He keeps talking about the Patriots like they're a squeaky clean organization. That's the same people that were involved in Spygate, got fined for that. The same people that were involved in the Deflate Gate. And now it's going to be like you guys said, collusion gate. Because you know Antonio Brown got something. As soon as he's disgruntled, he's going to pull out some stupid-ass text message that somebody from the Patriots sent him before, you know, so he can act up in Oakland so they could get him.
Right.
Come on, Wiggy. Come on, man.
Do you really think he plotted and schemed?
For a long time.
Do people really think he plotted and schemed before he got to Oakland to get out of Oakland?
Yes.
No,
there
come
are
on.
People who believe
that, those that, people
that,
are
the,
idiots.
That the social media experts who were brought in
mm-hmm.
to tell him how to get out of, to scheme with him, how
to get out of Oakland.
How to get out of Oakland.
Yeah, I agree that with that.
That they believe that the Patriots, there are some people who believe the Patriots provided that.
That's just dumb.
I mean, it's ludicrous.
When you think about this whole and AB thing, he probably wanted to go someplace where he could win, right? Obviously, the only two spots that he had landing spots were Buffalo and the Raiders, because Pittsburgh wasn't trading into New England, because we I don't know how true they are, but the reports from Mortensen were that the Patriots offered a first round pick, and Pittsburgh's like, we're not sending them to any good team in the AFC. So he ends up there, but he wasn't plotting and scheming to get out of Oakland until he got to Oakland and realized this is where I don't want to be. And then when he realized that, then he tried to figure a way to force his way out. But if you look at it, that's a risky move, because all they have to do, and I heard OMF talking about this yesterday, and John Gruden's did this before back in 2003 with Keyshawn Johnson when he was in Tampa Bay. All they had to do was put him on that reserved left team list and basically said, you don't want to show up. See you later. Go home. You're not getting paid and you ain't playing anywhere.
Yeah, this is Mike from West Roxbury. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the new show, Greg.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it.
So I want to say to Curtis, you keep saying that the Steelers never won a Super Bowl with Antonio Brown, but I'm not saying nothing can happen of this, but look who their quarterback is compared to who the quarterback is in New England.
Well, he's won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, but you keep saying that with Antonio Brown, they could never win anything. Roethlisberger throws his teammates under the bus all the time. that guy's just, like, waiting. Do you ever see Brady doing stuff like that?
And Roethlisberger's won two Super Bowls, but let's be honest. Let's go back to those Super Bowls. What did he really do? He didn't do nothing against Seattle. Antoine Randall-El had to throw for a touchdown when they won that Super Bowl.
That was an amazing run to get there that Roethlisberger carried them on his back for. The game itself, he didn't perform that well.
You're upsetting the Steelers honk over there. Yeah. Don't say anything bad about the Steelers.
Look at what Roethlisberger, that was what, his second year in the league or something like that? Like, that was, like, early in his career. It wasn't like they were able to win the Super Bowl because of what Ben Roethlisberger did.
He was a second. You're right.
He was more like a Trent Dilfer for that team, like Trent Dilfer was for Baltimore.
You don't think there's any risk to the Patriots locker room now that you have added Antonio Brown to the mix?
No.
There's no risk.
No. Well, what's the risk?
He self-destructs.
They cut him.
But Tom Brady has to worry about it. Edelman gets pissed that he's not getting the ball. I guess, theoretically, when you look at where the D is going to be, Edelman's going to get the ball more, maybe, right?
Yeah, if they're going to double Antonio Brown, Edelman's going to get more chances. And I know we talked to Edelman when we had him on that day, and you asked him the question about it. And he was like, I can't, you know, deal in daydreams or hypotheticals.
Yeah.
But he said it. When you have great players out there, it makes your job easier. So they're going to have to double Antonio Brown, because it's not like you're getting a Corey Dillon or Randy Moss. When you got those guys, those years prior to that, they weren't the same players.
Right.
You're getting AB and AB's prime. Last year, he's coming off, you know, the numbers that he has. So you're getting a playmaker.
Well, and Mike from West Roxbury had the very interesting sort of idea of ripping my take by saying that Ben Roethlisberger was a bad teammate while supporting Antonio Brown, the worst teammate in the history of the NFL.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger is a bad teammate. His GM.
How's Antonio Brown as a teammate? Wiggins?
Well, I'm not saying that he's no better, but when you look at it, there are guys in the locker room, and I bet you a lot had to do with the relationship between Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. Brady's not that type of guy, so he's not going to throw Antonio Brown under the bus. So Antonio Brown's not going to take shots at him like Roethlisberger threw him under the bus. And the Pittsburgh GM said, hey, it's Ben Roethlisberger and 50, what, two kids or something like that?
Yeah. I think Brady, it took Brady all of 7 or 8 hours to become all in on this. I mean, you heard him on the show yesterday. What? Look at the Instagram photo, Ken.
What, the picture, the selfie?
Yeah, the two of them.
That's a sign that he's all in.
Yes.
Despite everything you've heard, including Jim Gray last night, he's still nervous talking to Gray.
The two of them are at the house in that Instagram thing. They're right. They're sharing like a charcuterie.
Right. And
you know what I'm saying, Wiggy?
He's not eating charcuterie. He's full of sodium, guy.
You know, I mean, Charles Manson would have taken selfies if they were around back in the day.
They're having like a hummus platter or something together. He's all in.
You know why he's all in? Because he told his owner he's all in, and we all know about that because his owner told us.
He's all in. The guy is, hold on, this is Mike from Woburn. Yes, Mike.
Hey, Hillman, how are you, brother?
What's up, man?
Wiggy.
Yo.
I am all for you. You are absolutely right. But everybody doesn't even think about the fact that the Steelers gave up on Le'Veon Bell. They should have paid the man. Mm-hmm. They didn't. And that was their commitment. And then they were 9-16 or 9-5 or 9-7, whatever they were last year. They didn't even make the playoffs. They stunk. And he said, you know what, this team doesn't want to give the commitment, so I'm out. He got the cash, and he went to the Raiders and said, you know what, this team stinks. They stink. It's not about the money with him. He said, I just want out. I want to win, and I'm here. I believe it. I'm 1,000% in. I'm 1,000% behind you, Wiggy. Mm-hmm. Keep it up.
Mike, did you just say it's not about the money with Antonio Brown? That really isn't.
He could have stayed in L.A. and collected all that cash. And just gonna, he could have stayed there, collected the cash, and done nothing. But he came here for a lot less, and he said, you know what, I want to win. He's at that age. I want to win.
All right.
And he just wanted out of two franchises that weren't in the same scheme and the same thought process as the Pats.
Okay.
Go win.
AB can't do no more. I guarantee. But he's right. He basically said, you know what, I'm going to throw this $21 million away and run the risk of, you know, potentially that's it, you know, selling my reputation. And now if I go to New England, it doesn't work out. I mean, it might be hard for him to make up that money. So at the end of the day, I think it's about the organization and about the structure. And we already know this. Say what you want. The Pittsburgh Steelers have no structure for that organization. That organization really has never had structure, at least not from what I can remember in recent time. And when you look at the Oakland Raiders, we already know about the structure over there. That place is an absolute joke. So he gets out of Pittsburgh because things weren't working out. And then he lands over there. And then he runs the risk of doing the things that he's supposed to do, where all the Raiders had to do was say, go home. We're not paying you, and we're putting you on this list, and you ain't playing for nobody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a really risky move on his part that he could end up. We saw it with Terrell Owens doing sit-ups in his driveway, and Gruden did it with, like I said, Keyshawn in 2003. Sent him home.
Well, Tom Brady called the show late yesterday. We'll get a rare content replay on that for those who missed it coming up at 7. I'm also going to give away tickets to join us at Fenway when we broadcast the show there next Thursday. It's a 1 o'clock game. So you're going to join us at Fenway. We'll hook you up with breakfast. You know, food is very important to me.
Very.
So then we'll go to lunch because food is very important to me.
Yes.
And then you'll go to the game. We'll have a Red Sox player or two on the show that morning that you can meet and hang out with. I think it's possible that Jim Cook may join us from
Sam Adams next
Thursday. So listening at 7. Because I'm going to give you the chance to win those tickets to join us at America's most beloved ballpark next Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
What the hell is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. Crack the dawning. Now I'm yawning. Wipe the cold out my eye. See who's this paging me and why. It's my man Pop from the barbershop. Told me he was in the gambling spot and heard the intricate plot. Some people want to stick me like flypaper, neighbor. Slow down, love, please chill, drop the caper. Remember all your people's from the hill up in Brownsville. That's real, that's real. Yeah, little fame up in Prospect. Nah,
Well, Texter wants to know, Danielle, if you are cowering in the corner because of the poor use of the English language that Wiggy is perpetrating on these airwaves day after day when he is in here.
You know how when you're exposed to weird environmental conditions, your body somehow develops its own barrier or shield?
Immunity type shield. You're immune to his poor use of the English language to his bad grammar?
But aren't you from Swampscott? I've heard some of the accents out there.
Out there? What do you mean? It's not like an island. I mean,
out in Swampscott.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, are you really like, do you really think about how you pronounce your words and everything?
Yes, I do. I don't have to think about it at this point because I've learned them.
Right. Did you have trouble like when you were younger, like, oh man, people were like making fun of the way I sound, so I'm really going to focus on how I sound?
No, they made fun of a lot of other things, like my glasses and my perm.
You don't worry about it.
No, I usually think when people are from Massachusetts and they grow up like in kind of like the Boston or the metro area and they come from bad like accents, I usually think they go one or two ways. My way, which is, you know what, this is how we sound. If you don't like it, you know what, kick rocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or they go the Danielle way and they say, I got to really make sure that I'm sounding
prim and proper.
Yes, very enunciation.
Very, very kind of Yankee-like. That's kind of like
being very enunciation.
Yes, very.
Want to enunciate all my words.
Yes.
Coming from Curtis back there, and I heard him do some of his reads before. Jesus. I should sound. I didn't know he was teaching English classes.
More mild or milder.
This is Ryan. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on, Ryan?
It's another day at work. Yeah. I don't say this very often, even in my car, but Wiggy, I 100% agree with you.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's very rare for me to say that. Usually we're on completely different wavelengths.
Yeah.
But it's not about the money, and which is weird because it's about the respect. If you listen to him, it's not about the money. What's more respectful, getting $30 million from the Raiders or $10 million from Bill Belichick, who never pays anybody? And he hasn't even been in the organization yet, and he's receiving $10 million before he even gets there. That probably means more to him. And to say that he's going to be a cancer in the locker room, you're either saying Bill Belichick doesn't know his own locker room, or you think the locker room is so frail and fragile that Brady can't keep control of it over Antonio Brown's antics.
Yes.
And I think that's ridiculous, and that's all I'm going to say.
But you would say, Ryan, you would say that this is the biggest test. Even Wiggy would say this is the biggest test of the Patriot way, correct?
This could be the biggest test. No.
This could be Belichick's Waterloo.
No.
Do you know what?
I have no idea what Waterloo means, but this is not the biggest test.
No,
because you're getting, when you look at Antonio Brown, like we tend to look at, okay, the situations we're getting. I think the biggest test for Belichick is probably more Josh Gordon than it is Antonio Brown. Because Josh Gordon
has life issues. He's got an addiction.
Right.
He wants to be good. He wants to contribute. Antonio Brown.
But I think when you look at Josh Gordon, he really has to make sure he's handling him the right way because of what's going on in Josh Gordon's life. Right. Josh Gordon he's been out of football for 2 years. He's been suspended. When you look at Antonio Brown and his whole career, the guy's out of the 144 games he's been able to play in since he's gotten the league, he's played in 130 of those games, and he missed 9 his rookie year.
He just skips to the playoff games when the Steelers really need him.
Well, right. Just week 17 when the playoffs are online.
Well, they didn't make the playoffs. Guess what?
Yeah, why didn't they?
They won that game, and they still didn't make the playoffs. They did win that game, but the reason why they didn't make the playoffs is because whoever the other team they were going against ended up winning. But when you look at Antonio Brown as a player and what he's done on the field, he's really never had any issues. He's never, besides last year's one game that, you know, there's still a lot of rumors and speculations.
No issues. He's taping.
I'm saying that's the game he's missed. When you're talking about Belichick, he's not dealing with a guy who's not out there on the football field.
Antonio Brown, if he had signed with the Jets, Wiggy, you and the rest of this audience would be mocking them. The same old Jets bringing this malcontent, totally idiotic, desperate move.
What everybody would be saying if he signed with the Jets? This is what people would be saying. Why didn't the Patriots make a run at Antonio Brown? If he signed with the Jets, if he signed with Kansas City, there were reports in Seattle. Why didn't the Pats make a run on him?
Here's your pal, Derek, the Steelers fan. Derek?
Good morning, everybody.
What's happening, Derek?
I'll tell you something. You know, for somebody who's played in the league, Wiggins, you have no clue what you're talking about. You just made a comment that the Pittsburgh Steelers have no structure.
They don't.
They had three coaches in their history, my friend.
But look at the structure of the coach. Look at the structure, I said, of the modern coach.
And running off of your mouth all morning.
Let's get into it.
Throwing crap against the wall.
It's not. Let's get into it. Look at their most recent coach. Do you think Tomlin has structure?
It works this. This is a conversation. One talks, then
I know that. But you're not answering my question.
You're doing an awful job at it right now.
Jesus, Derek, answer the question. Because I said, in my recent time, which is the Tomlin era, there's been no structure. Has there been structure on the Tomlin?
How do you, guys?
Answer the question, man.
The same coach, the same GM, the same system. What do you mean
you
no
didn't
structure?
Answer the question, you moron?
Have they had structure under Tomlin?
Thank you.
Plenty of structure
under Tomlin. Has there been structure under Tomlin? Look at what's gone on in that locker room since Tomlin's been the head coach. You want to bring up AB?
You're the one filming on Facebook Live.
You want to talk about the situations with James Harrison?
Yeah, your guy did that, buddy.
Tomlin, no structure. Don't call in if you don't know how to have a good debate.
Derek, what he's saying, what Wiggy is saying is...
Please explain it to him.
Let me help you with this. That Antonio Brown, under Bill Belichick and his structure, will be a completely different player.
He's the same guy who wants to dismiss the failures that the Patriots have had. Albert Haynesworth, Adelius Thomas. They cut him. Aaron Hernandez, the most epic failure that they've ever had and probably ever will have. But this buffoon wants to sit there.
They cut Albert Haynesworth.
You know, the new coordinator of the Patriots.
Jackass, they cut Haynesworth. When Haynesworth didn't fall in line. This is the problem with Steelers fans. They're morons. When Haynesworth didn't fall in line, they cut him, right?
With Aaron Hernandez,
the guy was an absolute maniac killer. I don't think they realized that. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think they did realize that.
I don't think anybody realized it. That's the problem.
They had flop houses, right?
This is the problem with Steelers fans, and that's what I was trying to say. The structure under Belichick versus the structure under Tomlin. Look at the organization with Tomlin. You had the Le'Veon Bell situation. We've already known about the Antonio Brown, the Facebook Live stuff. There's been the James Harrison stuff about what he said about Tomlin after he left the organization. Yeah, they've had structure in the sense they've only had three coaches, but you look at the coaches they had prior to Tomlin.
So you're basically saying that Antonio Brown would not dare go Facebook Live in a meeting with Bill Belichick. He's afraid of Bill Belichick. No. He's a grown man. He's afraid of Bill Belichick.
They have structure, I think, is what we're saying.
Right.
Structure.
Sometimes when you're dealing with morons you've got to beat it into their heads.
I got you.
Who was the biggest diva that they've probably ever signed when you talk about wide receiver, about a guy that just felt like he was bigger than the game?
Ocho Cinco.
When he came here, did he even utter a peep? Even though he didn't have a great season here, did you see any of those antics that he had in Cincinnati when he was here?
Oh, he was too busy trying to learn the offense for an entire season.
for whatever reason, he conformed. You didn't see him putting up no list of DBs in his locker who he was going to toast. Right, he wasn't wearing no Hall of Fame jacket on the sideline after touchdowns. Come on.
All right. Well, Wiggy is all in on not only on AB, but also on the undefeated season. That was his lead this morning.
Which is amazing. If the Steelers have so little structure, this win impressed them so much, they're going to go 19-0 now. The terrible Steelers.
But I've always said they've had talent, but they just never had structure.
And you're prepared to say, as you did this morning, better than the 07 team.
Yes.
Better than the 07 team.
As of right now, when you look at them on paper, better than the 07 team as far as the personnel and what's going on.
All right. Coming up, we'll get a rare content replay on Tom Brady on this show yesterday. And Ken pointed out this morning, he said an awful lot of times during that interview yesterday that Antonio Brown better do the work. So we'll hear Tom Brady again. We will give you the opportunity to join us next Thursday when we broadcast from Fenway Park. Breakfast, lunch, you'll get to hang out with a Sox player or two, and that is all coming up on today's Greg Hill Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.